you think that it's me, one of the main courses of my teaching in scientific part was this, that one animal is no big deal. They were here for billions of years. Nothing. The first magic was when one animal somehow eats another one, but doesn't eat it really. We'll keep it inside. They become a multiple system. That's when we arrive. We are all that. We are full of living creatures, really, in you and out of you. Yeah. There are some creatures that they live in your skin. They could live only in the skin. Why? Go and ask them. They eat and they multiple, they succeed, they are there. And some of them will invite their cousins or enemies to eat you when you die. When you die, what will happen? A lot of these kind of creatures will eat us. That's how it works. Yeah, they eat you. Why? How many did you eat? That's how it works. Let's go back to Masnavi. What are we talking about? Do you remember? Anyone? Let's hear it.
How Joseph, the Siddiq,
yes,
the blessings of God be upon him, was punished with imprisonment for several years because of his seeking help from another than God and saying, "Mention me in your Lord's presence, together with the exposition thereof." That is like Joseph's of a prisoner, a needy, abject groundling. He besought him for help and said, "When you come out, your affairs will prosper with the king. Make mention of me before the throne of that mighty prince, that he may redeem me also from this prison." How should a prisoner in captivity give release to another imprisoned man? All the people of this world are prisoners, in expectation of death in the abode that is passing away. Except, to be sure, in the rare case of one who is single, one whose body is in the prison and his spirit like Saturn.
Oh yeah, let's just stop that before that. What was all this? You know the story of the Joseph. He's down there and should be saved in a proper time and blah, 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 blah. Here, this is a made-up story. The story goes like this. He will beg another prisoner to please to save him, right? Why did he bring this? To ask a very simple question. You want to be saved? Who should save you? We are all prisoners here. We'll all die. Right? No. exceptions, except there are some exceptional people who doesn't count as a prisoner or as a dead fellow. They have another stuff, yes?
Therefore, in retribution for having regarded him as a helper, Joseph was left in prison for several years.
Aha. So first of all, Joseph will be punished. Remember him and imagine being in his position. He was tricked with the brothers and they dropped him there, right? So he's down there. Then he begs someone else, there is no one down there. And there is no kind of this stuff. But, okay, the story goes that he will beg someone to please save me. Then he has to pay for that. Because you should understand who is the savior. How do you understand who is the savior? First of all, you should understand your position. Why are you there? Joseph is down there and he is innocent, right? There's been nothing wrong at all. But he will be punished because he begged someone else to save him. Yes?
The devil erased from his mind the recollection of Joseph and removed from his memory those words. In consequence of the sin which proceeded from that man of goodly qualities, he was left in prison for several years by the judge, who said, "What failure was shown by the Son of Justice that you should fall like a bat into the blackness? Listen, what failure was shown by the sea and the cloud that you should seek help from the sand and the mirage? If the ordinary are bats by nature and unreal, you at least, O Joseph, have the eye of the falcon."
Aha. Uh-huh. Everybody is sort of blind because everybody is busy with this me and his own problems. But Joseph, you are different. Means, Joseph, you're here. You're an excuse for me to go on with this story, to tell everyone, to correct your expectation and pay attention. Who do you trust? Who should help you? Yes?
If a bat went into the blind and blew, after all, what ailed the falcon that had seen the sultan? Therefore the master punished him for this sin, saying, "Do not make your prop of rotten wood." But he caused Joseph to be engrossed with him, to the end that his heart should not be pained by that imprisonment. God gave him such intimate joy and rapture that neither the prison nor the murk remained to him.
Means what? See how the story turns around? Okay, Joseph is a bad guy and he should be punished and all of that, but in a way, he has done nothing wrong. So, somehow, God made him drunk and to forget all of this, not to be very sad about it. Means what? Imagine the poor Joseph alone down there now. Yes, hallucination. What is he talking about? Rumi begs you, please, pay attention. Here I'm not talking about Joseph. I'm talking about one stuff, begging for mercy to everyone, hoping for mercy everywhere. I'm talking about that craziness. Don't worry about the Joseph himself. He is okay. Yes.
There is no prison more frightful than the womb, noisome and dark and full of blood and unhealthy. When God has opened for you a window in His direction, your body in the womb grows more every moment.
Okay. Now you're begging everybody to help you with your problem. Let's go back. When you were in the womb of your mother, what then? You have no connection with any human being yet. So there is no other people for you. Why were you happy down there without talking to anyone? And you started to grow and become this? What about that? So your life, being alive and being happy and all of that, doesn't need the presence of everyone to support you. Yes?
And in that prison, from the immeasurable delight, the senses blossom happily from the plant, your body. It is grievous to you to go forth from that womb. You are fleeing from her pubes towards her back. Know that the way of pleasure is from within, not from without. Know that it is folly to seek palaces and castles.
All of that was preparation for this. This is the answer. You should understand that the pleasure is inside, is in you. That's where the source of pleasure is. Don't look for it outside. The pleasure is inside when you are calm and you are happy. That's simple. Yes?
One man is enraptured and delighted in the nook of a mosque, while another is morose and disappointed in a garden.
The populace in the street is smiling and having fun. And another fellow with all the different problems is not happy. Yes?
The palace is nothing. Ruin your body. Huh? The treasure lays in the ruin. Oh my,
the palace I meant, your body. This is our palace. Isn't it? This is the only one that I really, honestly, could claim it's mine. The rest? Oh yeah, we talk about it. Nonsense. There is an apartment. It's mine. Yes or no? I'm talking about 20 years from now. I'm dead. Is mine? No. When I die, all those minds are not minds anymore. But this is still mine. I die with this. This is my universe. This is where I exist. So the source of my happiness is here. And that's the only one which is really mine. The rest, it did belong to someone else and will belong to someone else. And if you have a different point of views like mine, it doesn't belong to anyone. Yeah. Yes.